Welcome to the R7 Christian Marketing Podcast, sponsored by Emma's Good.
R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes 7 strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my
destiny. Welcome back to the R7 Podcast. Man, I feel like we've definitely amped up our game on many levels, and today is no exception to that rule. I have a good friend now, partner in the ministry, Travis Vaughn from Upward Sports. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I've been a listener for a while now, and so it's fun to jump on your podcast and get to chat with you in this format.
Yeah, man. So we've been at it for a while now, right? Meeting every week, talking about marketing. Has it been 4 or 5 years?
I think 4. I think yeah. I've been over marketing here at Upward Sports for about 5 years now. And so we brought you in after that first year where we had not such great results.
Yeah. So, you know, every week it's always something that we're tackling, whether it's messaging, whether it's imagery, KPIs, strategy. Like it's just a really fun, cool relationship on Thursday mornings where we're just talking about, you know, conversions and good customers, bad customers, that kind of thing, good clients. But today's podcast, we're going to be talking about lazy marketing. And from our perspective of what we've observed is what we would say lazy marketing and the problems that we're all facing. Now, I would say, and I say this, you know, when we onboard clients, I think you probably heard me say this, that, you know, the world has become ADD. I have this statistic that I go back to the 1980 when Ronald Reagan was president, the amount of impressions that were hitting the average American around 600. And at the time we had NBC, ABC, and CBS. And so we're all getting fed the Brady Bunch, right? All in the family. Like it was just 3 stations. And then in the 90s, Fox came on and nobody could ever believe that cartoons were going to be, you know, part of primetime television. And so that changed the landscape. And then, you know, everything just kind of got faster and faster. Today, we're up to about 17,000 impressions a day. And so I think it's really easy to fall into this trap of lazy marketing where the short attention span. And, you know, I had a dream several nights ago because I was somewhere in the back of my mind, I was thinking about, like, when will things slow down? And my dream was all about things are not getting slower. They're just going to continue to get faster. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that we're just inundated with so much stuff all the time. And it, you get such a sliver of a moment. It's not even a full moment. It's a sliver of a moment to make an impression or to grab someone's attention or give them a pause to make them go, I hadn't really thought of it that way, or hadn't considered if I needed that, or if this thing might be something that can help me. And so, you know, long form storytelling to be able to present your idea in fullness is just not something that is possible. Or if it's possible, you got to be able to grab that attention fully and then open up that opportunity to learn more about it and dive deeper into it, as a secondary type thing. But, and we are all inundated with it so much. And I catch myself a lot of times, like putting myself in the seat of the person that might be seeing something like this and saying, well, that didn't catch my attention in 2 seconds. So It's not going to be, if it wasn't good enough for me who works here, it's definitely not going to be good for the person just randomly scrolling on a dark couch in the basement, you know?
Yeah. So like, you know, I think that we've done a pretty good job understanding that landscape and getting to the, what we call the H1 messaging really fast and grabbing the attention and then treating that consumer, that client, first time guest, whatever you're looking to, you know, bring on board as a relationship, right? As a long-term relationship. So it's not about signing up now. And I think like the sales side of Upward is fantastic, of harvesting those leads and treating them, you know, with respect and honoring their time frame of when they want to come in as a client. And I think that's super important when we're talking about, you know, donor acquisition or sales or whatnot, but just understanding that it's not the donate now that's going to get it, right? It's the long-term relationship that you're trying to build, because that builds a better client at the end of the day, better customer.
Yeah, it's one thing to make a sale, and for some businesses that's the end of the life cycle and that's perfectly fine, but for the things we're involved with here and the things that you are probably guiding companies with more often than not, it's the lifetime value that you're looking at, and it's the total impressions that you can have over a life cycle, or how can you know, bring more things to the table that can be beneficial to them in whatever they're doing. So that's where I think about. That's where I kind of love to live as well, which is like, how can you make this the best experience it can possibly be?
Yeah. So let's talk about why lazy marketing happens to good leaders. You know, why do you think that is? I mean, there's probably a bunch of reasons why, but what do you think are kind of the key culprits?
I think sometimes you had an initial idea and you just have never come off of that idea. You've never morphed over time or continued to evolve over time, you know, that the persona of the buyer has changed, the way they're interacting with your advertisements or marketing has changed, what they're looking for from your product, service, has changed over time. And so you somewhat, especially with people who created the business here, you kind of have some founder syndrome there where you go, I know this worked at once. We saw rapid growth at once because I had hit on what that market problem was. And I had fulfilled that with this market need being fulfilled in whatever form or fashion that was for you at the time. But the world has changed since then. And so I think sometimes if you're not staying in tune with those things and listening to your customers and understanding what the market needs, then at times that laziness of always going back to what originally worked can be a detriment to you.
Now, you have talked about the Pragmatic Institute, right? Of what is this? Nothing important happens in the office.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. Cause you've been really good at going out in the market and talking to customers, right?
Yeah. So Pragmatic Institute is an organization that trains companies on how to do product management, meaning, you know, that's everything from how do you develop the product? How do you do continuous improvement within that product? How do you look for market potential? And then how do you go out and market this item so that people can find out about it and ultimately purchase it or engage with it in some form or fashion? And so they would say, Nahito, nothing important happens in the office. And so if you could see in my office right here to my right, I have a map of the US. And so our market research department since 2018 has visited people all over the country, and we go out and we do these in-depth market research meetings. And so we're always trying to like put a dot on a space in the US that we've not been yet. And we don't have an unlimited budget or unlimited time and resources to do these types of things. But between myself and Joel, who works on my team, we make somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 visits a year. Getting out there and meeting with, you know, churches out there, both mostly church partners of our own, but some non-church partners out there that are doing sports ministry. And really, we have a list of a few different types of questions we want to make sure we hit. But we just take those conversations wherever they may go, wherever the rabbit trail leads, we'll take it. And we want to be learning and documenting all the way around. And so, you know, through that, you know, we also do the type of research that's survey based and is much easier to do on computers or, you know, from our regional reps, and that they take notes that gets compiled into this customer feedback as well. But it's these in-depth conversations where you can kind of pull on certain strings and try to understand, all right, what you're really asking for is this, I think. Well, what would you think about this? Or what if we accomplished it this way? Or how could we think about it in a different way than we do it today? That really leads to great continuous improvement and great almost innovation. One of the things we say around here is innovation is not invention. And I think those two things get combined sometimes. So invention is like, hey, I come up with a totally new way to build a product or thing or process or something like that. And no one's done it before, but those are rare. But innovation can happen in a multitude of ways. And so we're always trying to innovate within the things that we offer the churches out there.
I think this is so incredibly powerful. I mean, over the years, I've talked to so many different Christian business owners that, you know, like, have you experienced your product? And a lot of the answers is no. And I've actually, over the 25 years I've been doing this, I think 10 to 15 times I've become a secret shopper.
Mm-hmm.
Before we onboard, I go, hey, I'm going to go experience your product and I'm going to go talk to your people as if, you know, I'm going to buy the service. And it's shocking to me how many executives don't do that. I mean, it really is. I have this one story where I went to this hotel. It was a Hilton hotel. This was like 2 years ago. Beautiful hotel. You know, it was north of $250 a night. So I was expecting like, you know, a nice room. Check in, everything's fine. I get there, I want to take a shower because I like to get the airport off me, you know, get in the shower. I go in the shower and I noticed that the door to the shower, there was like an inch space on the bottom of the floor. So I thought, no big deal. I get in there. The way the door swings open, it folds off the towel. So I was like, oh, that's weird. And then you know how when sometimes you when you turn on the shower head, but it's on, like you have to put your hand through it and you turn on that first thing and the water comes down, it's super cold. You know what I'm like?
Yep.
Okay. So I do this. I get blasted with cold water. Then in the shower, the water's leaking out of the shower. And then when I get out, I have to open the door, but I stepped in the water. So I slipped and then I tried to get the towel and the towel's behind the door. And I'm like, this is crazy. So Travis, I go downstairs. I wasn't upset. I get myself, you know, together. I go downstairs and there's three people standing there. I said, hey, listen, I'm not looking for an extra night. I'm not looking for a rebate. I'm just asking a question here. Have any of you stayed in one of these rooms? And the one guy's, the manager, I've been here for 2 years. He's, that's a weird question. I'm like, why have you? He's like, no. And the two ladies that are sitting there are like, have you ever stayed in one of the rooms? And they're like, no. And I thought, this is crazy, right? They're checking people in, but they've never experienced their own product. And they're in a hotel. Like, how hard is that? Like, you're traveling around the country 60 to 80 times. And like, if you're in a hotel, you can't stay one night, experience what it's like. That's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. On top of that, you know, we encourage our team members to participate in local leagues around here as much as we can. So I've probably been a coach of a upward sports team basically every year, the last 10 to 12 years, sometimes more than once a year. And, you know, I've got an 11-year-old daughter. So a lot of that's been self-serving like that for the last few years, but even before she was around or of age to play, I tried to participate in those type of things. Cause once you experience what you're trying to put together, you just have a whole different feel for it. Or you got different ideas of how this could be done better. That's what we're getting at here.
Yeah. So let's change the question just a little bit here before we go into the solution. I want to ask, how do you, cause nobody likes to be called lazy, right? Have you been in your career or experienced that, you know what, maybe I'm being lazy about this. What does that look like in like your thought process or your like day to day?
Yeah, good question. I would say there have been times when things are going well, and instead of continuing to, and here's the delicate part of marketing, right?
Yeah.
When things are going well, you always want to be looking around the curve as to like, all right, when this starts slowing down, what's my next idea? What am I going to do? And how am I going to make sure I'm there before I need to be there? But you also don't want to tinker with something that's working.
That's right.
And mess something up.
Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Right.
So the first place my mind goes to it on this is, you know, there are times when it's been going well and I've not been thinking far enough ahead so that I'm ready for when the downturn does happen and I can, you know, move into the next initiative or campaign or something like that. You know, there's certain times in with us at Upward Sports, we work within a calendar that's much like, from a marketing standpoint, for much like a church would deal with, because those are the type of people we're trying to, you know, reach out to and talk to and that kind of thing. So am I always thinking ahead of like, what is that church leader going to be experiencing in the spring, a la Easter or other times? And how, how would my messaging that I really need to be working on, say in January, February, how am I articulating that messaging in those campaigns that are going to come out in April, May, that's going to hit them at the right time, at the right place, that will resonate with them for that time and not being too reactive at that point when I could have been planning ahead of time. That's one place.
That's really good. You know, and I definitely agree with you because, you know, we have, you know, a couple of different clients that go, hey, we need to change. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's the KPIs aren't positive the way we thought they're going to be, but they're working. Don't change them. Right. So instead of changing just for the sake of changing, I like to look at the message and say, okay, what's working and how can we make that message even better that resonates? You know, so that's, you know, kind of the backup plan when this does go. And we've done that before too, with different campaigns throughout the years. But, so yeah, go ahead.
One thing, I was at a conference, this is really slightly different than the marketing angle, but it was a quote that resonated with me and might with the listeners as well. They were talking about AI and all the things that were changing within the sports industry. This was not a church-based conference. This is a sports and recreation type conference. And the guy really challenged everybody in the audience to say, you know, don't spend all your time thinking about what is changing. Spend your time thinking about what's going to stay the same, and then invest more of your time into those things.
Yeah, that's good.
Because that's what's going to be needed and necessary moving forward. And so I've spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks kind of thinking about those things as it relates to our business here.
Yeah, that's definitely the strength-based position, right? What's working, what's positive. Let's keep digging on that and drive that five layers deep. You had mentioned in the past, I don't know, it was in preparation for this, but you talked about you don't consider yourself a marketer, you know, the marketing side of things. I too resonate with that. What do you consider yourself as if you're not a marketer?
Yeah, good. I was a project manager here at Upward for my first 5 years here at the organization. And so I like to say during that time frame of me working here that I didn't actually do anything, but I basically made sure that everything got done. So it was just the day-to-day of most of the projects we were working on. I was involved with those things in every department and every facet of the business basically there. And then there were certain large projects that I would work on. And so I have a project manager professional license that I got during that time. And I just learned a lot about process and principles and, you know, following those things, making sure you don't gold plate, you know, things to the point that it's not needed for your customer out there, but you're providing them what is needed and how people are looking to engage with that. And so I think that's the base layer who I am, you know, from there, you can kind of look at my journey and see where other things have been added. So the first thing I did in 2018, when I moved into more of a management or leadership role here at Upward, was to start our market research department basically from scratch. And I think that organizationally, that is a cornerstone of who we are now. Like, all decisions kind of go through a filter of what is the market saying. And while that you can't just make decisions based on data, there has to be intuition involved with those types of decisions. At least it's a part of the equation. Too many times people are making decisions based on gut alone, and yeah, that can get you going down the wrong path. So it kind of went from there to being overall of our product development here at Upward. And so basically you take market knowledge, you make product decisions, you develop new products. We've launched, you know, volleyball, baseball, softball, pickleball, and a few other smaller type initiatives since I've been a part of product development. And those things have done pretty well for us as an organization. And so, you know, you can see where the continuum of this goes. So market research leads to product development and kind of nailing that, which leads to, all right, now we need to go tell people about this and compel people that this is a really great outreach strategy for their church to reach their community. And so I know the customer really well. I know the personas really well. I know how they're going to engage with the things we provide. And now I just need to figure out how to go tell them about it. That's marketing. And luckily, I get to work with you and Emma's good. And then I have a really good team here at Upward that does a lot of the classic marketing there, where I feel confident in my marketing abilities, but I don't see myself as a marketer. I see other people as that, and I can bring my strengths, which is knowing about the market and the products, and help those people, you know, put together good marketing campaigns.
If you could take out, and I've thought about this question for years, so I'm interested to see how you answer. If you could take out marketing out of the English dictionary, what word would you substitute for what marketing is?
I don't know, like, engagement's the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, you're trying to engage someone in a, in the knowledge of your product or service, and hopefully engage them into a relationship that you can continue to work with them moving forward.
Yeah, that's good. I think about so much about that project management side of things as I look at myself as a project manager as well of, you know, we've got this website, this email, this ad, and where are we at? Where are we going? Right. And then we test the results, we test it, see the results, and then we pivot. So it is about all these moving parts and trying to read them and assimilate them and figure out what's the best way moving forward to engage that potential customer or client or donor.
Yeah. And people that have that mindset, I think, get things actually done. They don't just talk about the ideas.
Yeah.
They don't just talk about, like, oh, this would be cool if we did this, or, ooh, I got flavor of the week, you know, idea here. They actually are putting those things in play and, like, you know, moving forward on things. And that's how
I'm actually going through this right now with another client. It's like, you know, when you're shooting a gun or whatever, it's ready, aim, fire, right? You don't ready, aim. At some point you got to shoot and see what happens. Like, am I off? Am I low? Am I high? Where's the bullet? You know? And so in order to hit the sales number, we got to ready, aim, fire, pivot, change, be agile, ready, aim, fire. You know what I mean? And just test it and go. And so that analysis of paralysis doesn't work, especially when you're trying to engage your persona. All right, awesome. Shifting gears here. Let's keep it going. So let's talk about the solution to lazy marketing. What have you seen over the years that has worked for you? And I think we talked a little bit about this, about understanding the customer, going on the road, you know, getting to know them. I think that's the first step. When things are good or bad, I don't think you can over ask your customers what they're experiencing. So I think that habit of everything's working, I can go play golf at 2:00 in the afternoon, you know, or whatever you do, you know, you still have to be on top of it and understand who you're talking to and what concerns that they have. That's a huge, huge point. But
yeah,
yeah.
It's cornerstone of what we do here. But if I were to take it one step further,
yep.
of another thing you can do in the solution kind of phase here is, how can you make this customer partner, we call them partners here at Upward, how can you make them feel like a VIP, or that you are intimately involved with their specific situation? You know, one of the first things in 2018 when we started doing market research that was a mind shift for us at Upward Sports that made us think about our churches differently and the way they wanted to engage with us, and maybe was a miss that we were doing prior to that, was a principle that we talk about all the time around here, which is every church sees themselves as unique. I would say, you know, I would say you could probably apply that to every industry and every place. Like, you all, to really grow, you need to scale. And to scale, you need to make things kind of similar for people across the board. Mm-hmm. But how can you provide some type of VIP experience initially, or a very close touch point early on where they're getting to interact one-on-one with someone or something, or you do something that makes them feel special or beyond? Like, I'll tell you, there's one small thing. There's a company that my wife gets laundry detergent, other cleaning supplies from. It's called The Grove. That's the name of the business. And she mm-hmm. buys direct from them because it's supposed to be, you know, chemicals that are better for the environment, better for the people using it, that kind of thing. They write like 6 words on the top of the box, but it's like, thanks so much for your business. Beth writes her name on it in marker when they ship it out, or appreciate you, Beth, or something like that. I mean, it takes 4 seconds for someone who's putting that box together to do something like that. But for me, I mean, that's a noteworthy type of thing there. That's one step further than anyone else is doing in this space. And, you know, we've been a customer of this business for a long time. I don't know how much can be attributed to those things specifically. You'd have to ask my wife that decision, that question about that decision right there. But that's the type of thing we're talking about here, which is, you know, how can you make that person feel special or unique or seen early on in the process?
Yes, that's so good. You know, this is kind of a weird way of my brain working on this, but I think about, like, we have this common sports background, you and I, and I think about when I'm depleted the most, the anabolic window where I need my BCAAs, my branched chain amino acids, you know, the fastest. And that's usually, I need them when I'm done working out, right? Within 20 minutes. And that's a window. It's a window of opportunity for me to replenish my BCAAs and get back to, you know, feeling good. And I think about that in a weird kind of way as a VIP experience. And you just said it, like, there's a window of opportunity, and that is early in the process. And so when it's on the sign up, it's the first delivery, it's the first donor acquisition, the first payment, whatever that is, it's right in that window. And if you don't capture that, I think it's really hard to get back to having them come back again. Not impossible, but harder. You talked about The Grove. I've had a fantastic relationship with Farmer's Dog, or experience with Farmer's Dog early on. I mean, the texts and the phone calls that are customized to my name was unbelievable. And even the follow-up on my dog's, you know, quantity of pork and chicken and beef, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take much. In fact, it's one of those cost benefits that I think, it if you don't do it up front, it costs you way more money on the back end to go get a new client than it does to put the systems in place to create that VIP experience early on.
Agree. Totally. And here Upward Sports, you know, we know that the first season that you're going to run a program is your hardest, and it's not even, there's not a close second. Like, can you have a viable, good league the first year where the participants are going to tell other people about it for the next year, and the parents are going to say, this was a good experience. I would put my kid in it again. Mm-hmm. And like, is there enough players involved that we can have enough teams that you're not playing the same team every week, you know, those types of things. And so because of that, we dedicate, you know, people on our staff that walk hand in hand for just in time training all the way through that first season. So it's not like we hand you a book, which we did at one point in time, and say, learn all this and you'll be good to go. No, it's like, all right, we need to put together your league. We need to build an advertising plan for it, for your community. You know, we need to, go out and find volunteers. And like, here are all the different resources and steps that you can do that. And if you've got questions or concerns, or that didn't work, we need to rethink it, we're going to walk you through that whole process. And so feel like that's a place where we excel kind of here as an organization.
Why do you think some organizations don't put on a VIP experience? Not needed. Nobody else does it. It's overkill. Like, what do you think are some of the concerns there?
It's hard to do at scale, especially if you haven't done it before. Like, if you got away with not doing it, and then suddenly there's a downturn, or you're not growing anymore, you've plateaued, or something like that, or maybe you're too small to have enough resources to dedicate to do it in the first place. You know, in the reverse option of that, but there is time, energy, resources that goes into having to do that. Otherwise, everyone would do it, but it's about making the decision that that's going to be a part of your culture and a part of what you're trying to do that makes the difference there.
Before, early on with M is Good, it was formerly Marketing Ministries, my house here, I had a production studio that was 30 minutes away. And so I would drive every day to the production studio. We did a lot of video, a lot of websites. And I didn't do this for a VIP experience, but looking back on it, it kind of was. I just wanted to be a blessing to somebody. And so because it was a 30-minute drive, before I got in my car, I would say, okay, Lord, who do I need to call and just tell them God loves them? And so I would do that. I would just, okay, whatever name came, I would just say, hey, man, hey, Travis, I just want to tell you, man, God loves you. You don't need to call me back. And that was it, you know? And one day, I'll never forget it, Steve Noble, and I've told him the story. One day, Steve Noble called me and said, hey, Dave, I just want to tell you, God loves you. Don't call me back. And it meant the world to me, man. I was crying. I don't know what was going through that day, but I was a mess. And so, like, I hear you on, like, it's too costly. But if you're too small to put things in place, a phone call or a text works too, man. Thank you for your business. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to serve you and for you investing in us. And we want to earn your trust. I didn't do it for those reasons. You know, it was more, but I was just thinking, like, you can make a phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think that works? Why do you think the VIP experience works? I think we talked about this already, really. It's about having people feel seen. God, that's so good.
Yeah. And valued. That's another part. Like, you know, if you're going to do business with someone, then, you know, you want to feel like a valued customer and not just a customer number that, you know, ultimately goes to pay that person's salary or keep the lights on or something like that.
Yeah. And I think we're all sort of frustrated with the big business where you're not heard or seen. And I think the market now, because we're out of broadcast and we get things that we want, I think the media drives that. You know, it used to be a time where you'd have to VCR your programming. Remember that? Or like, and you'd have to, like, okay, or it was appointment television. You had to wait, appointment television. You didn't have to wait. You had to wait to, like, see it, or you had to record it. You couldn't, you had to just be there live. Now, man, like we get it when we want it. We download, we binge, we get. And so I think the market is definitely in the last 5 years trending towards this area of a VIP experience. It's what we get everywhere else. Why don't we get it with your company?
Yeah, or you got to be so big and overwhelmingly valuable that you don't have to. So if I go to reach out to Amazon, yeah, and I get their chat bot, okay, like yeah. You know, I'm okay with it from Amazon because of the behemoth that they are, and that chat bot's probably as good as any human when it comes to that particular situation anyway. But if you're a normal size business and you're looking to make some inroads in a new market or some new clients or something like that, then I think this is what differentiates you from your competitors or from the people around you. Could be this moment, and then you can hang on to them and not have that churn of new people all the time. That's a good thing for your business.
I mean, you could make a really awesome point that, you know, our company's so big that they afford not to do it, and we just have to deal with it. It's still a letdown, though. It is, right?
I agree.
Still a letdown. Google's famous for that too. Like, they're just so big. All right, practical steps for first-time listener, for the listener going through this. Maybe they become, you know, in a situation where, wow, maybe I could do better at my marketing and create a VIP experience. What do you think is the first step?
Yeah, I think marketing is the first piece of this, and it's a marketing podcast, but it's really understanding your whole business. You know, there's things you can look it up called journey mapping that if you haven't done that before, but that is really like, what is every single place that I touch a customer, and back that thing all the way up to the ads that you're serving up or the way that you're interacting with people. Maybe it's at a conference, maybe it's at a trade show, maybe it's in a store or an online store, or it could be, you know, anywhere that you are working with someone initially kind of marketing to them. All right, what happens next? All right, do they come to my website? What options do they have on the website? Schedule a call, buy the product, learn more about it. Great. Now let's take that tree and continue to go down it for each one of those three paths. Like, what's all those types of things? And then once they become a customer, what does my confirmation email look like? What is the next way that they're going to interact with me? You know, is there tracking? Is that being sent out to them proactively, or do they have to go find it? When they go find it, does, you know, what kind of detail is that giving them? And then, I mean, just continue to take that on through the full life cycle of what it means to be a customer for them. And eventually you'll get to a place where where you go back to almost step one and go, all right, this actually dumps back into step one for us again, and take them through that again. And like, see where there are gaps, where you are not being, where you're not given a VIP experience, where it could be better, you know, where you could say things differently, where you could make people feel a little bit more valued or seen along the way. And I think that's a great way that you can look at this from a slightly different, less lazy way of looking at all this.
So good. I think too, in that journey mapping process is where you bring in your team and you collaborate. Hey, even you might even know the answer, but you bring your team in to get them involved, because at some point you're going to say, is this a good experience? Okay, we got the map, and these are the logical roads throughout the map, but is this a good experience? And you need your team to give you feedback on that, or you need somebody like a secret shopper to go in there and say, okay, this is what I know, this is what the map says. This is what happened. Wait, that's not supposed to happen, you know? And so understanding, okay, this is what's really going on, and is this a good experience? That's a really good step. And I would say, like, be open. to what's going to come back. And so this is where I think, you know, I'm writing this book on toxic motivators. I'm almost done, actually. It's coming out in July. I'm so excited. But this is where the toxic motivators get into your fear, lust, anger, pride, where you go, okay, I put this process in place and it stinks. Now, am I going to try to prop it up even though it smells, you know, or am I going to say, you know what, we need, I've invented this thing, it's not working. Hey, team, I need some help. Let's put on a great experience. Yeah. You know, let the vision be the North Star, not what I put together be the North Star. And I know that could be a real problem for some leaders out there. So,
yeah, I kind of think of it like authorship bias. If I'm the one that wrote it, you know, whatever it is, the product, the book, the process, then I will defend that original idea naturally, but can you push back from the table for a moment and go, you know, is this actually the best thing? Am I open to someone critiquing this or looking at it from a different angle than I originally looked at it? That's where you can see improvement there.
One of the things I enjoy doing is what's called a content summit, where we look at, okay, here's a word. Let's take water. So if I say, Travis, if I were to say water to you, what's the first visual image that comes to your brain?
So for me, liquid.
Yeah, so liquid. So I see like a waterfall. You see liquid.
Yeah, like a puddle.
Like a puddle. Yeah. Okay. All right. And so like a puddle. And so like here we are, one word, water, two people, two smart, handsome people, okay, who have two different ideas of this one word. And so now we start putting sentences together and paragraphs together and messaging together, and we have an idea of how this customer, this partner, donor, first-time guest is going to interact with this messaging. And the reality is you don't have a clue how they're going to react because everybody sees it differently. And so what I love to do is collaborate on that content summit to say, okay, here's our messaging. Now, what do you see without any like visuals attached to it? And the room just lights up. It's so much fun because you go, oh my gosh, I never thought of a puddle. You know, it makes sense because you run a lot and you step in puddles, you know, you know, and so I could see like how you would see from that perspective, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's being considerate of your customer, donor, first-time guest, partner, and what they perceive to be the messaging or not perceived. Yeah. So we talked a lot about lazy marketing and about how not to be lazy in your marketing. Is there any other thoughts you had out there that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, I'd say the most important thing is to surround yourself with people smarter than you, and be open to other ideas, and then follow the data. You know, I still believe data doesn't always tell the complete story. So you need to allow for the God-given brain that you have to help you along as well. But you know, if you can follow the data generally, it's going to lead you to the decisions that you need to make to propel yourself forward.
Yeah. Your intuition and what God's called you to do is so vitally important. So what the data says and what God's calling you to do and navigating that is not easy. And, you know, bringing your God-inspired product to the market is powerful. And, you know, the data is one data point of many data points that make up a decision. So I like that. So, Travis, you've been an awesome guest, man. You know, this has been a great podcast on marketing and lazy marketing. I think we probably could come back at some point and talk about the brand and how the brand interacts with the customer and what that, how we do that, how do we get those pieces together and what the message could or couldn't be inside the brand. I'll give you the final words.
Appreciate you having me on today. It's been fun working with you the last 4 years and plan to continue doing that. If you want to check out anything we're doing with Upward Sports, you can check us out on upward.org. That's upward.org. And if you, for some reason, like the sound of my voice, I've got a running podcast
Yes.
It's called Kinda Fast. And Claire and I handle that here at work. And so if you're new to running or a seasoned vet, you can check us out on Kinda Fast. It's a fun podcast about the world of running out there.
Appreciate you, Travis. I too enjoy doing life with you and marketing with you. So thanks for being awesome, man.
Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.